Our epistle for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the first epistle of Blessed Peter the Apostle, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise, blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of our Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice' sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. For you have heard that it was said to the ancients, thou shalt not kill, and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, thou fool, shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, today, in our epistle and gospel, we are reminded of justice. Justice is the other side of that one coin that has charity. You can't have one without the other. Truth be told, that charity can sometimes supersede justice and suspend it. But justice always promotes charity, and charity must always be had. When Christ is talking about the scribes and Pharisees and their justice, what is he talking about? He's talking about a group of people who are more concerned with the letter of the law than the spirit of the law. They're more interested in promoting themselves, especially contrary to their neighbor. Remember that parable Christ spoke of the two men who came to the temple to pray? The one was a Pharisee, came up to the front. The one was a sinner, stayed in the back. And the one in the front said, Lord, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men. If our prayer is anything like that, then it's a bad prayer. Self-centered, not God-focused. And here it's important for us to heed the warning and to take a look at ourselves with the truth that is presented to us. What is our justice like? How is it that I treat my neighbor in my mind and in my heart? I go to confession, go to Holy Communion, and I'm in sanctifying grace, and I think that's sufficient. It isn't. Remember the parable of the talents? To one he gave five, to one he gave two, to one he gave one. The one he gave five went and earned five more, and he says, well done. The one who he gave two to went and gained two more, and the master of the house says, well done. The one who got one, oh, he got it. He treated it carefully. He placed it in a napkin, folded it nicely, hid it, and secured it. He didn't abuse it. He didn't misuse it. He just didn't use it. And when he came back, unfolded a napkin and presented it, the master of the house called him a wicked servant. We do not deserve to receive God's grace, but we are blessed to have that opportunity. And there's an obligation that comes with the privilege. We're not meant to keep it. Keep him and his grace to ourselves. We have to remember who we are. We are instruments. That's it. We're rusty, broken, faulty instruments that the good Lord wishes to make use of, and he can make use of anything and do anything with any instrument he so chooses, because he's God. But the key is that we have to be willing instruments. As we say when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we either really want that or we don't. And what is his will? Well, his will is first and foremost that we strive to love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, strength, and will. And what follows is like the first. He says, love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. We receive sanctifying grace, and we allow his grace to work in us and through us. If we don't, we diminish our connection with him or lose it, which is a tragedy. That's why Christ says that about justice. It sees that of the scribes, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those are pretty definite words, and the alternative of not entering the kingdom of heaven is one we shouldn't even start to comprehend. We don't want to go there. But it's not a choice that he makes, it's a choice that we make. Like I said, it's in today's epistle, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And it's not because he has turned his back on you, but you have turned your back on him, if you choose to do evil. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue. Charity to our neighbor. Let his lips, that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. People have a bunch of different ideas about peace, but Christ makes it very clear. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives do I give it. It's a peace of soul, a fulfillment of our very being, because we have decided to do his will and allow him work within us, and therefore we are fulfilled in our purpose of reflecting how we were created. When God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Well, we have three in one, and then we have body, soul, and sanctifying grace, the Spirit of God, all working together. I was thinking about this. It came to me. I'm sure it was an inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But Christ tells us to pay attention to the nature around us, because there's reminders. Like, consider the birds of the air, or consider the lilies of the field. And those are just two. There are plenty of others. And the one that came to me was, well, I was giving counsel to one of the sisters during the retreat, and it just came to be kind of all of a sudden. And that's where I know that it didn't come from myself. But I just stopped and asked her, what's your favorite tree? She says, what? Seemed kind of abrupt change of talk. Oh, what's your favorite tree? And I forget, she said something. And I said, my favorite one, one of my favorite trees is the aspen tree. The aspen tree doesn't have seedlings. It grows up by its roots. Every tree that grows up is connected to the tree of the root of the tree beside. It's one of the biggest organisms, I think, by area or by mass. I'm not quite sure on that one. I have to check that one. In the winter, when most trees go dormant, it does not. It stays awake and grows. How it's made in its bark, it can still take the energy that it needs from the sunlight and the daylight. When there is a catastrophe, a mudslide, or a forest fire, or an avalanche, and destroys the whole landscape, the first ones to come up are the aspen trees, and they rejuvenate the ground. Essential for the life and the ecosystem it finds itself in, animal life and plant life. If you were to go driving through the mountains of Colorado or the landscapes of Utah, you would find the aspen tree there. I remember I used to love driving up to the Grand Mesa of Colorado, and the wind would blow and it just had this peaceful rustle that the leaves would make. At fall, the leaves change colors, and it's absolutely brilliant. I remember driving due east, and I was looking up at the mountain. I'm like, wow, look at the sun's setting. That's really good. I'm like, wait a minute, the sun doesn't set in the east. The sun was setting behind me, and it was reflecting off the aspen trees. Truly a beautiful sight. Now let's make the connection. We are meant to be part of the mystical body of Christ. Christ says, I am the vine, you are the branches. We're all connected. If we're not connected, then we can't have life with him. But just like the tree affects the tree next to it, with regards to an aspen tree, so each and every one of us affects the rest of the members of the tree, one way or the other. If we're selfish, self-centered, and stingy, it hurts the whole of the mystical body. If we strive to live towards our vocation, just like an aspen tree, if it's there and growing, giving of itself, it's amazing things that we can do. Just like I said, at the aspen tree, at an avalanche, forest fire, mudslide, it will tear down the whole forest. The aspen tree comes up first. For us who have faith, times of trouble, we should be the first ones to rise up and to help our fellow brethren. As the aspen tree reflects the sunlight so brilliantly that it looks like the sun itself, so we also should reflect the Heavenly Father, the good Lord, and the Holy Spirit, and the grace that they offer and share to us, and reflect it back out into the world. It reminded me of when Christ says, you are the light of the world, let it shine, so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. That's a choice that must be made. It's not something that just happens. It has to be made each day, every day. Avoid evil, do good. Not just avoid evil and do good and promote good. For we were called to inherit a blessing. So don't worry about the world and all the troubles going on around you. St. Peter tells us, so have no fear of their fear and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. Make sure he's predominant. And his grace, as St. Paul tells us, we must stir up within us and then shine forth from us. It's not something that we have to worry about. It's something that we have to will, and then it will take place. Some people think that there's some type of secret ingredients to become holy. There isn't. Holiness has one source. Just like the aspen trees has, they have the first tree. We have Christ. We have to have connection with him, and we have to make sure that connection is protected and primary. This has to be our way of life, and through us, we teach those who we ought to affect, whether it be there our children, our families, and our friends. And we help all other members of the mystical body of Christ by just being good ourselves and choosing to be good and do good. So let us first and foremost, as we continue with Holy Mass today, be grateful for this opportunity to him. Ask him for his help. Thank him for everything he has done for you. And don't forget to listen to him, because he's truly the inspiration, the way, the truth, the life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.